Today, can't spend, won't spend, says households as recession looms. Hello again, it's Miles North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is post covering finance and property news. Well, we've had a slew of data recently which tells the true sorry story about Australian households. While the election campaign was centred on cost of living, the nature of the problem was not explored, nor were the solutions thrown out on the stump addressing the real pain which is out there. Recent ABS data from the fourth quarter 2024 ABS national accounts figures showed that real per capita household consumption fell for eight consecutive quarters, even as real per capita household income has fallen by 8%. This is after adjusting for inflation, of course, and it puts Australia way off the pace compared with many other similar countries. Our doo-doo is deeper. Today, the ABS released their selected costs of living indicators to March 2025. These measure the price changes of goods and services and its effects on living expenses of selected household types, and is frankly a better view of how real households are faring than the mythical CPI series, as it includes things like rental and mortgage repayments. The data this time also included some updated weightings, which takes account of recent government support for electricity and rents, and which, as I discussed, means inflation was lowered by using taxpayer funds. Not clever, really. How can the weighting for housing really be going down? In the March quarter, all household types saw rises in quarterly living costs, ranging from 0.6% to 1.6%. That's according to the latest data from the ABS. Health, housing and food and non-alcoholic beverages were the main contributors to higher living costs across all household types. Actually, the ABS said rises in pharmaceutical products, medical and hospital services, electricity and fruit and vegetables all contributed to higher living costs for all households across the quarter. Significantly, households with government payments as their main source of income saw the largest rise in living costs this quarter. Age pensioner, other government transfer recipients and pensioner and beneficiary households had larger rises in healthcare costs compared to the employee and self-funded retiree households. The rise in health costs came after the cyclical reduction in the proportion of households qualifying for subsidies under the Medicare Safety Net and Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. The safety net thresholds for both the PBS and Medicare were reset on 1 January each year. Out-of-pocket electricity costs rose as most households in Brisbane had used up the $1,000 Queensland state government electricity rebate. Some households in the remaining states and territories also saw higher electricity bills this quarter due to the timing of the 2024-25 Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund rebates payments. Fruit and vegetables like avocados, mangoes, asparagus, tomatoes and lettuce also saw seasonal price rises following reduced supply. The living costs for employee households rose 1.1% over the quarter. Mortgage interest rate charges and education made up a larger part of spending for employee households compared to other household types. Mortgage interest charges rose 1.5% in the March 25 quarter. That's down from a rise of 1.7% in the December 24 quarter. Education, which covers primary, secondary and tertiary education, rose 5.3%, reflecting fee increases at the start of the year. The rise in mortgage interest charges was driven by higher mortgage debt levels and the continued rollover of expired fixed-rate mortgages to higher variable-rate mortgages. The effect of the Reserve Bank of Australia's rate cut in February won't be seen until the June 25 quarter due to the timing of the change in the cash rate. Self-funded retiree households had the smallest rise in living costs of all the household types this quarter, up 0.6%. Self-funded retirees were more impacted by falls in holiday travel and accommodation prices than other household types, as it makes up a larger proportion of their spending. Higher mortgage interest charges, insurance premiums, and food prices over the year contributed to rises in annual cost of living across all household types. Of the household types, other government transfer recipient households saw the largest annual rise in living costs, up 3.5%. Rents and tobacco, which rose over the year, makes up a larger proportion of spending for that particular segment. Employee households have the next largest annual rise of living costs, up 3.4%. Annual growth of 3.4% in employee living costs continued to slow in the quarter and is down from the peak of 9.6% in the June 23 quarter. The most significant contributor to rises in employee households' living costs were mortgage interest charges. Mortgage interest charges have continued to moderate, up 8.8% in the 12 months to March 25, but down from an annual rise of 14.7% in the December 24 quarter. All of this helps to explain why the first quarter 2025 retail sales figures also fell in real per capita terms, suggesting that households remain trapped in recession in early 2025. As Goldman put it, nominal retail sales rose 0.3% month on month in March, broadly in line with expectations. That said, the details were softer, with ex-food sales broadly flat for a second consecutive month. The quarterly data was also weaker than expected, with volumes flat on quarter 1/25 against expectations, with an ongoing increase. That outcome suggests growth momentum stalled in early 2025 after tax cuts and various sales events boosted retail volumes in the fourth quarter. And of course, on a per capita basis, as I discussed previously, sales actually fell. On Tuesday, the ABS released its monthly household spending indicators, which was much weaker than expected, falling by 0.3% in aggregate nominal terms over March. Over the first quarter of 2025, aggregate nominal consumption growth slowed to just 1%, following the 1.6% increase in the fourth quarter of 2024. And as shown, it was in line with CBA's household spending indicator data. The volume of household consumption, inflation adjusted, of course, was flat in the first quarter of 25 in season adjusted terms, and it would have declined by 0.4% in per capita terms. The CBA said the annual growth rate is sitting at just 0.9%, following the 2.3% run rate in the fourth quarter. The senior economist there, Stephen Wu, said this is a weaker than expected outcome and poses downside risks to the RBA's expectation for a sustained improvement in household consumption growth this year. The RBA's latest published forecasts are for a 0.6% over the quarter increase in the first quarter 25, followed by a 0.8% quarter increase in the second quarter. CBA weekly spending data has long suggested, though, that the increase in after-tax incomes because of the Stage 3 tax cuts from 1 July last year has not translated to a commensurate increase in consumer spending. The data indicates that consumers are making deliberate choices to save and pay down debt out of the tax cuts, Wu wrote. And actually, the collapse in real per capita spending in the first quarter of 2025 does suggest that Australian households remain stuck in recession. This all echoes the data from my surveys, which, as I discussed recently, shows around 3 in 4 renters have cash flow problems, while half of mortgage holders are in the same boat. And Westpac's Red Book shows that the Aussie consumer mood remains depressed. Conditions are apparently worse for households than during the global financial crisis. Whilst consumer sentiment has come out of the dark, the cost of living hole it was in through the most of 2023 and 2024 is still firmly pessimistic, they said. And with risk aversion also elevated, the mood points to consumers remaining very conservative, even as their financial situation improves. That may change as fears of a bigger tariff hit locally subside and further interest rate easing from the RBA comes through. But in the meantime, stiffening external headwinds suggest it will continue to be very slow going for the recovery near term. Nothing from the Labour campaign really gets to grip with a recession in household land, and it seems everyone is hanging on the hope of RBA rate cuts, with markets still hoping for a cash rate of 3% by the end of the year, which would mean 4 rate cuts. So the question will become, are inflationary pressures easing sufficiently to allow the RBA to cut, as it's the only game in town? And if they do, will it make much difference? For example, lower rates won't necessarily drop rents at all. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. My thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.